This session that we're having now on the program is called Concluding Remarks. I was going to share a couple of thoughts, and then our brother Elkin was going to come and conclude. And everybody, when they start these times, they always say they just have a few brief remarks. And the audience prays that the person saying that is not like the writer to Hebrews. After 13 long chapters, says, "I have written to you briefly." But it is our desire to just have a few brief remarks. But before we even do that, I think I'm maybe the last person, non-Toronto person, to have the privilege of standing up here. And I think for all of us who have come and visited this conference, we really appreciate the labor of love that all of you dear brothers and sisters have shown, and we'd like to really give you an offering of thanksgiving through with a clap offering. Let's have another word of prayer. Lord, truly great is thy faithfulness, and we thank you that all we have needed your hand has provided. And as we come to this time, Lord, we come just continually in that same place that we started, looking off unto Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that as we look to you, Lord, there is a full and complete satisfaction. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for us to turn again to the section in Luke chapter 2 where we have the theme verses for this conference. And I'd like to read right after the verse, couple of verses right after the theme verse. Our brothers have been reading this throughout the week and have shared on it. If we look at Luke chapter 2 starting in verse 51. "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Now, as has been shared, we know historically this is the testimony of our Lord's life during that next 18 years when it was a hidden time. But there's a little phrase within this verse that I'd like for us to take and let it apply and touch us in a very personal way as we leave. And it's really the first few words in verse 51. "And he went down with them." He went down with them. When we started, John encouraged us to personalize these verses. And I'd like for us to personalize this particular phrase. And as we will all say this out loud together, but we'll put our own name in it. And we will say, Jesus went down with Mac. And you put your name in that verse. And again, not as a hope, but as an assurance. This is the testimony. When we leave here, as Maurice was talking about going down into that valley, we leave these conferences, we feel like we're going down. But what is the hope of our testimony? It's that Jesus is going with us. So can we, each one of you, put your own name in it and let's say it together. Jesus goes down with Mac. Jesus goes down with Mac. Hallelujah. What an assurance that is. Now, in many ways, as we face leaving a conference, we can have anxieties because most everyone within this room has been to different conferences, and we've all been through the same process. As we leave conferences, we have this great desire that we could continue on and experience what we have touched during this time together. Find ourselves nervous. We find ourselves scared. There's a lot of uncertainty. But if you look throughout the scripture, these few words the Lord has used over and over again throughout, if you look and go from Genesis all the way throughout to Revelation, a very simple word of encouragement. That when ones were in a time of crisis, ones were in uncertainty, the Lord simply came in and said, "I am with you. I am with you." And we have that assurance that as we go down from here, as we go back into our lives, He is with us. He said it to Abraham. He said it to Isaac. He said it to one even like a Jacob who was fleeing. He said, "Jacob, I'm with you." He said it to a David that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. I'm with you. And He is with each and every one of us. And we thank the Lord because of so great a salvation, He's not walking alongside of us. With His parents, He walked down that hill alongside. But He's within us. He is with us, and we have that assurance that He never leaves us or forsakes us. And the precious thing that we have in knowing the reality of that is how much our wonderful Lord is for us. That He walks with us, He leads us, He guides us, He knows everything. And when He gives us those commands within our daily life, and we find that great resistance rising up within me, within ourselves, to say, I can't do that. What's His assurance? I am with you. There's one in the Old Testament that had a dialogue with the Lord. The Lord told him to go and prophesy and share certain things. And he says, I'm but a youth. I can't do it. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. This is a precious dialogue in the Old Testament. In Jeremiah chapter 1. So we see the book of Jeremiah there. The Lord has called and commissioned Jeremiah. And we'll just look at a couple of verses in verse 6 through 8. The Lord has called Jeremiah and appointed him to be a prophet. If you look at the end of verse 5, he says, I've appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. And what's Jeremiah's response? He says, alas, Lord, don't you know? I don't know how to speak because I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth. You know, the Lord in a very comforting way. You think the Lord was surprised that Jeremiah said he was a youth? It's like the Lord didn't know that. When the Lord puts us in these places, He knows us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And He has these circumstances for us. And we come back and say, oh Lord, I'm so young. Let someone else do it. No. The Lord said, don't say you're a youth. The Lord said to him again, you know, do not say I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. I am with you. You know, as we go back to our local assemblies and those intimidating old saints that are there, that have gone on before us, and they can pray these eloquent prayers that go on, and they tie Genesis and the purpose of God in through Calvary, and they end us, we get raptured in the end, and they're praying those every Sunday, and we're sitting there, what can I say? Do not be intimidated. Do not say, I'm a youth. You know what the Lord is to you. Offer up within your heart what the Lord has given you, what He's touched with to you, what He's spoken to you that day, that morning, in your recent dialogues. If you've been lingering with Him, what has He touched your heart with? And offer that. And you, there's one like you in the New Testament, because sometimes we have those grandiose prayers, and most of us feel like we're just that poor little widow offering her mite. But that little bite that widow offered up is known throughout all eternity. And all heaven sang and went forth when that one widow, what did she offer? She offered herself. She offered all she had. She just gave what she had. And it rang a hallelujah within our Lord's heart. That's all. He's just looking for us to respond to what He's given to us and what He's put within our hands. And that we not be like the Jeremiahs and say, I'm a youth. But praise God. We've seen this week, we've been seen, and we've been encouraged of how the Lord has called us to be occupied with His business. How He's equipped us, how through that abundant grace, how through the revelation of His Word, He has such a heart to reveal to us more and more of His wonderful self. And may these words continue to ring within us. I am with you. Well, as we even begin in the New Testament, the first chapter of Matthew, what is the Lord's name there? Emmanuel. God is with us. Emmanuel. God is with us. Never leaves us. Never forsakes us. Always for us. What a great love He has for us. Many great men of God found themselves terrified. Paul was in Corinth, if you look at Acts chapter 18. And the Lord said to Paul, don't be afraid any longer. I'm glad the Holy Spirit put in that phrase, any longer. Because that means Paul was afraid. He says, don't be afraid any longer. I am with you. And I'm going to protect you. Oh, how we think that sometimes there's a weakness within ourselves to allow such a simple little phrase to mean so much to us. But may we never despise the simplicity of the testimony of I am with you. And He goes down with us into the valley of life. We thank the Lord He's been with us as we've been on this mountain. We thank the Lord that He goes before us and He makes a wonderful way for us. And we thank the Lord how we can be assured of Him being with us as we daily spend time in the Word. I appreciate what our brothers have encouraged and exhorted us throughout the week on the value of the Word of God. As I stand here today, I'm 61 years old. And one of the regrets that I have in life is that I did not recognize the value of the Word until much later in my life. So many wasted years. And what a precious privilege we've had to be encouraged this week to really delve into that Word of God, to linger there, to dialogue, to really allow it to speak to us, and to ask the Lord to give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation. But also we have another precious privilege of knowing how the Lord is with us, because we don't go down the mountain alone. We go with one another. You all go back to Queens. Some of you go to Houston. Some go to Toronto. Some are going to Vancouver and Richmond, different places. Praise God we have one another. There's a togetherness. There's a relatedness that we have. And we have Christ within each other to encourage us. We have Christ within each other that can strengthen us. When we go through those times when we're feeling a little down or discouraged, we have one another to come alongside. And we would challenge you as you go back, help keep each other fresh in what the Lord spoke this week. Call one another. Lydia, call Rebecca and Amanda this week and ask them, what else has the Lord been showing you? When y'all get back to Vancouver, call one another. I guess nowadays you text each other. Excuse the old generation of telephone and actually talking to one another. But, you know, I'm still in that phase. So I enjoy talking to people. But call ones, talk to them, and really say, remember that? Remember what Dana said? Remember that discussion group? Remember that morning devotion? Let's help one another. Keep it fresh. Because in ourselves, we will all dry up. But we need one another. That's one of the things. We see that we're all called to be occupied with our Father's business. And this is one of the ways that we can encourage one another. That we could come into the reality that we don't go down alone. He is with us, and He is with us in our brothers and sisters. And as we get back to our local assemblies, we have the precious opportunity there to enter in and to allow the Lord to capture us in very real and practical ways of being occupied with our Father's business. You know, the morning devotion this morning, it ended up and it talked about how precious it was to be in our Father's house. I don't remember the exact phrase, but as you go back, it is very precious, but it was added during our devotion. We edited it a little bit. One of the things about that preciousness, we'll also find that it's painfully precious. But the painfully precious only makes it more precious, because we see more of our Lord and His wonderful faithfulness. So if I would have any concluding remarks, my prayer for you would be that you would know the reality that He goes down with us. And He never leaves us or forsakes us. And we have that precious promise of I am with you always, even to the end of the days. Amen.
So for this last of the concluding remarks, they've asked a shy, timid Chinese guy to share with you. It's probably appropriate. I think as we look back on this week, I think we can all confess that we've had a full and a very great feast from the Lord. And it's not just the Redeemer food, which was excellent this year. It's more. It's the bread of life that we have. You know, I like to spend a little bit of time to reflect a little bit on what has been shared by our speakers. And, you know, it's not meant to be an inclusive summary. It's not meant to be a close notes where your phone might have nodded off and here's the time for you to catch up. But you know, just some things that have been shared by our brothers and that I hope would jog our memories, would bring back what the Lord has spoken to you personally. So I'd like to spend a little bit of time doing that, and then I will conclude with just more thoughts that you know, the Lord has impressed upon my heart. You know, when we first came to the conference, John did remind us that it was his faithfulness that brought us here. And it's his faithfulness that we're brought to the end of the conference throughout this week. So we really do have to recognize that. There was a real purpose for us being here. There was a reason that we're here, and there's a reason for us to live. It's not just so that we can coast through life, enjoying bits and here and there, but there is a purpose. And, you know, whatever this theme, these verses mean to you, being occupied in my Father's business, it's a life. It's not a set of things that we're following. And it is life. It is purpose. It gives us purpose. And we thank the Lord for that. On the first day, our brother Jim spoke to us on becoming aware, right? That's the question before us. Don't you know? And we know that for our Lord Jesus, he was aware. He was aware when he was to us a young age, when he was 12. But he was aware of many things. He was aware that he had a favored status. He was aware of his Father. He was aware of his purpose for being where he was. And so that's a prayer, too, that in our lives we have, I mean, maybe because of this conference, maybe because of the words that have been shared in your local assembly, that we've become aware, hey, there's something more that to life than just to be saved. There is that purpose. And we see how the Lord was brought to God himself. There was that personal relationship. And Jim introduced to us this word, lingered. And I really like that because it's not, it's a word that that now has meaning and purpose. Actually, that's the definition he gave us, that when we linger, it's for a purpose. We're waiting for something. We're looking for something. Before, I think we associate the word linger with just hanging around, just not doing anything. But that's a different word. It's loiter. And now we see we're given purpose. And when we are before the Lord, there's a goal. There's a purpose. Brother Dana shared a series of these snapshots with us that really shows us how much there was a growth of the Lord when he was young, but not to the point where it was in very specifics or in particular details. You know, the scripture, Luke, the other authors of the Gospels, they look like they on purpose left out those details. And we thank the Lord for that. that we're not just going to follow how the Lord grew up. When he was five, he read the word for the first time. There was none of that. We see the growth of our Lord Jesus, but it's not a set path or just a set of instructions that we follow. But through these snapshots, we do see how our Lord was compelled. He was called by our Father. And he took that on at a very young age. And we do see how he saw past the traditions. He saw past the things that were customary. He didn't just go with the flow. He didn't attend a meeting just because everybody else went. There was life. There was life for him. And Dana shared with us, well, Dana basically wrecked the conference theme, because he told us the words occupied and business aren't actually in the original text. Sorry for the t-shirts. In fact, the words were necessary to be in the of my Father. And again, that's left open. Again, it's not a set of things or set of instructions or even how to manual or of business. What is the Lord's business? What are his things? And in fact, when we see that, it becomes more than that. It's himself. We are to be things of him, of himself. And that's precious. And we see that in these silent years. Again, not much, we don't know much about the Lord's day-to-day life during these silent years. But these are your years. They are years of youth. But there was a preparation. It wasn't just, well, the Lord was just doing whatever he was doing, and all of a sudden, when it came to age 30, he got baptized, and boom, 3.5 years of all these great ministry. No, it was a preparation all this time. We don't know exactly what he did to prepare. The speakers and your workshops, they give us their experience. They give us just precious ways that we can commune and fellowship with the Lord. But again, no set of detailed instructions. But when we seek him, when we want the Lord, he reveals himself to us. How wonderful that is. On the second day, Jim spoke to us about the Word of God. Now, if food is an expression of love, then we really see how much God loves us. He gives us these wonderful, wonderful food that is his word. When we remember the slides, there was a picture of the Passover meal, there was desserts, there was the roughage, there was Chinese food, Mexican food, finger food, and we even talked about condiments. And for me, I'm picky, and you guys in Toronto know I have to have my Chinese food. That's important to me. And I like to have ice cream, not just any dessert, but ice cream. And so I'm really glad for the day when we get to Sundays. But that's picking and choosing. And the Lord has this whole feast for us with the different foods, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from, books that are, to us, what we think easy to read, to those that are what we think are hard, like names that I can't pronounce, or numbers that just go on and on. But there's a purpose. There's a purpose in this book too. And I shared in my discussion group how the Lord spoke to me when I was reading Second Chronicles. The Lord told me very specifically, do not fear or be dismayed, because this battle is not yours but the Lord. And so, if we started skipping, if we started just picking and choosing, we will miss out. And we don't want to do that. You know, and there's also something very precious, because the Lord not only provides His Word for us, He also provides the time for us when we ask of Him. It's like He provides everything for us. We're not lacking in any way. When we have that heart and desire to go on with Him, to say, Lord, I really want to study Your Word. I really want to spend that time with You in Your Word, in that secret time of prayer. He shows up, and we said, I don't know where to fit You in my quote-unquote busy schedule in life. And, you know, the Lord will rearrange some things in your life, and all of a sudden that time will show up. Now, I don't want to say be careful what you ask for, but we know that the Lord will answer our prayers, so let's be serious. He might do that rearrangement of your priorities and your time. But when you ask Him, He's faithful. He's faithful to show you what's in His words, and He's faithful to give you that time that you can have with Him. And then it's really wonderful that Jim showed us that picture of the galaxies, of the star systems. And he asked us, you know, are your hardships and are your problems and are your issues, your concerns, are they bigger than that? And our Lord is even greater, even more immense than the galaxy. Well, he created the universe and everything in it. When there are times that we think, uh-oh, we're going to fail. I'm going to fail right here, right now, and this is it. There's nothing that can stop me. Really? Do we see how great our Lord is? And if we don't, that's another prayer that we ask of Him. Lord, you know, I see that picture of the universe, of the galaxies, but I haven't experienced that. Well, ask Him to show you. He's so much bigger. And not that I have experience that fullness, but the Lord does show Himself. And again, there needs to be that seeking for Him. For our second message time, Dana sang, or we sang together, the song of Let the Beauty of Jesus. And it's, Let the Beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Well, when we invite Him into our lives, like, He lives in us. And there should be an outward radiance of that life. And we're not just covering it up. We're not just hiding it under a bushel. No, it's just let that life. And because He is beautiful, then there should be that beauty of Jesus that the others do see. And, you know, we talked about having progress and advancement in our lives. You guys are growing up. I don't want to say what the number of conference I've been to attended. I think it reaches double digits. But every year we see growth. I'll pick on Janice because can I divulge your age to thank you. When I went to, when me and my parents, this was even before the time of Jeffrey, my younger brother, when me and my parents came to Canada from Hong Kong, we actually came on August 8th, 1988. So today would give us 20 years in Canada. Well, the reason I mentioned Janice was because Janice was born August 1st, 1988. So by the time we came and our first week in Toronto, she's only been a week old. And now, you know, here we are 20 years later and we see growth, but not just a physical growth. We long for spiritual growth. We long that, whether or not the Lord brings us back to another conference or not, that there's that progression with the Lord. There's that, I want to go on with Him. I don't want to just be a newborn babe all the time. I don't want to just be drinking milk. That should be natural to us, that we want to grow, and to the point where we're no longer just being fed. We are now administering to others. We are feeding others because we're sharing our experiences. We're sharing our life of what the Lord has done with us. So again, we're looking for progress. And just like our Lord Jesus, there was progress. And another vocab that we're introduced to is this word dialogue. It's three parts. It's listening, questioning, and answering. I really do ask that, you know, when we go back and review the conference, I hope we don't just kind of summarize it in these kind of words that we use around. And it's, you know, it's more than just lingering and dialogue. I really hope that there's a life to it. Those words and vocab, they help us to remember. But I really do ask every one of us, there's a challenge here, to really have that living live dialogue with the Word every day. Isn't it amazing that when we read something that's supposedly static, when we open up a page or, you know, on your PDA, on your computer, you open up the printed word here, it's life. There's a response that when we ask the Lord through His Word, what does that mean? He shows us, you know, and again, we don't look for it, not necessarily instantaneously, right? I think we made this point during the discussion group. This generation, we expect things to just happen. There's that instant. We want things right away. And, you know, some of you have shared on, quote unquote, older technologies. Well, I want to remind you that before, for the internet, there was something called modem. And when the internet loaded through your modem, it was very slow, depending on the speed of your modem. Now, you guys don't know what I'm talking about, so it's too bad. But we expect things to just happen. Right now, if you go to your browser and you load up a page and it doesn't show up in less than a second, you hit refresh, or you close your browser and try again. We expect things to happen. We expect answers to come right away. But really, there's a preciousness in waiting on the Lord. That things, there's a reason why the Lord doesn't just throw things at us, and he wants us to chew on it. He wants us to digest it, and he wants us to have that gradual searching with him. And in that way, you build up a relationship, right? If everything's instant, then where is this relationship based on? Right, and this is the same thing when you have relationship with your friends and peers. You know, quick and instant relationships, they don't last. They're shallow. But it's those that have stand and passed the test of time. Those relationships are precious. And that's something the Lord wants us to have with Him through His Word. And this is another serious matter. We're asked to examine ourselves. We need to repent for our attitude, our casual attitude towards His Word. And even in the testimonies, this have come up. Well, I leave the time that I spent with the Word to the last possible moments. And you know, it's something that the Lord. We do pray that He would forgive us, but He would show us the value of His Word, that we're seeking Him and His Word throughout the day. And it's not just, I'm going to leave this time for the Lord. Again, it's a relationship, right? You don't go to your friend just whenever you think you need him or her. But there's that constant dialogue and relationship. So let the Lord convict us of our attitude towards his word. Looking at what Jim shared with us on the third day, this business that we've been talking about, it's to redeem man. It's the Lord's purpose to redeem man, to have this new creation. And he shared with us these six characters in the Old Testament. There was Joseph, who was, he was caught and he was held by his vision, his dreams. There was Samuel, who was dedicated to the Lord. But he had open ears, and he also obeyed when he heard the word of the Lord. And he helped usher Israel into a new era. There was King David. He was chosen by the Lord. But all those years as a shepherd, he was the youngest of his family. There was really no sign that he was ever going to become as great as the king of Israel, probably the greatest king of Israel of all time. But he was faithful in what he was doing in his youth. There was Daniel, who, despite being captured and brought to Babylon and be as a prisoner, despite that, there was no compromise in him. He purposed in his heart. These examples, and Ezra, who gave himself to the word and to see the building of the temple. There was Elijah, who was full of life. He asked for double portion because he saw the preciousness in that. All these characters, they're not old, mature characters in the Bible. All these preparations, many things they did, yes, when they were older, that's recorded. But the preparations came in their youths. And there are even more examples. And our Lord himself, again, is an example of how he prepared when he was young. And so, this room is full of young men and women, you and me. Okay, maybe not me, but you, a lot of you, are youths. And these are your years of preparation. We're not asking that there's a striving for, I'm going to be like David when I grow up. I'm going to be like Samuel. But these characters in the Old Testament, they're there for a purpose. They're there for us to learn from. And again, these are examples that our Lord gave us for us. And when we see that finished product, again, the lives of those that I've mentioned, the finished product, it's great because, why it's great? Because the Lord had their way with them. They brought them through hardships, brought them through trials, but they persevered and they did great things for the Lord. Dana, in his message last night, he shared with us from the book of Second Timothy. We talked a little bit about Timothy, shy, timid. What's going to happen? Don't leave. And I wonder sometimes, do we live on that secondhand faith? A lot of us have been to a lot of conferences, and messages that we hear. Do we just hear it and recite it to others? Do we even think and consider? Do we go back after we hear the message and check the passages? Do we go and have that examination? It's life when the Lord gives us that word. It's not just, well, here are the condiments. And it's very living that way. Dana encouraged us to strengthen ourselves in the grace of God. Take hold of the life within us. Again, he's given us everything. Why are we concerned? Why are we worried? Why are we saying it's not enough? The provision is there. There are the four examples in Second Timothy, those who have passed the torch, those who have really digested the words and began ministering to others. There are the soldiers who are in God's army or navy or coast guard, whatever the case might be. They suffered hardship. They suffered hardship for what is right. There are the athletes who endure to the end. You guys, a lot of you, I don't know how you do it. You guys woke up at 5 or 6 and you guys started running. That's training. I haven't done that, so I'm not there. I can't endure at least in the physical realm of things. But there's that endurance when we train as athletes. Don't cut corners. We're reminded of that. What shame comes when it's discovered that some athletes didn't abide by the rules. And instead of fame and glory, they're in shame and their reputations are in shambles. It's a reminder for us that, we have to be faithful with the Lord and there's no shortcuts in God's kingdom. There's a farmer who have worked hard and were stubborn and persevered through, the storms and made sure that there was crops. So all these examples, and, can't really go into all the details when in your workshops, what you've heard in there. But there were those topics of functioning in my Father's house. There was the characters in my Father's house and the relationships in my Father's house. And when, I don't know about you, but when you go through these workshops, I don't know what your expectations are, but sometimes for myself, when I go to these workshops and, we pick the topics and we say, yeah, that's a great topic because I want to learn more about how to forgive somebody. I want to learn how to read the Word of God. I don't know about you. Sometimes I go into with an expectation. Yeah, this workshop will show me how to have the right relationship with one another. And you go to the workshops and you realize, wait a minute, this is not really what I was expecting because in whichever workshop, whichever topic there is, we see the example. It comes back to our Lord Jesus Christ. The relationships doesn't happen, or the relationships don't work out when it's apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. If he's not in the center, it doesn't work. And there's going to be heartaches. When we don't function in his house with him as the center, it doesn't work. We'd just be doing things. And there would be no value in that. And the characters, it's not about a checklist of the characteristics that we should have. But the perfect example is provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That life that he lived, those are the characters that we ought to be pursuing. And so you see, it comes back to the Lord himself. There's no other. There's no formulas, there's no step by steps. But in our walk with him, the Lord will show us what he wills for us to do. And just finally, even the other the different times that we've had through our morning devotions, our evening prayers, our discussion groups, the testimonies we've heard this morning and last night. Even the times of worship, I hope the Lord has really been speaking to you throughout all these times. Again, just this richness of this entire conference. You come to the end of the conference and this is where we are right now. And so there's a question. Now what? So what happens now that we have to, come down from this mountain of a mountaintop experience. What happens now? For that, I just want to impress an idea or impress a word upon your heart. And I like to instill in each of us a sense of urgency. Can you turn with me to Joshua? Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, we just want to read from verses 14 and 15. Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Verse 15, and if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can we also turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3? Book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 4, also 14 and 15. Hebrews 3:14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end, while it is said, today if you hear his voice, let me just read that part again, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. And again, I just like to impress upon your hearts this matter of today and the response that we want to give today. You know, if we look back at this passage in Joshua, we see them coming out victorious. Like by chapter 24, they have defeated most of their enemies, and they're living in that land where they now possess. They're conquerors, but also Joshua realized that they're still living in the world, and there's still these idols and other gods that there are those among them, and so there's a choice that they have to make, and for us it's the same way. It's for us we start out in grounds of victory because of what the Lord has done. But we're still in the world, and it's easy for us to slip. It's easy for us to be distracted by the attractions of the world, by the gods that we either consciously or unconsciously we worship, those idols that are not of him. And so it's easy for us to be occupied with other things other than our Father and his business. And even in one of the morning devotions, there was the book of Haggai. You know, those ones, they came back from Babylon. You know, they weren't, it wasn't like they were just willing to settle in the world. They actually had a purpose in their heart to come back from Babylon to rebuild Jerusalem. But what happened? There was a delay, there was discouragement, there was threats. And so they were distracted. They were no longer occupied. And they became occupied with their own things, right? They wanted to have building houses for themselves. And so it's easy for us, even as we start from these grounds of victory, that we could be easily distracted. And so Joshua presents his choice before the people. Whom will you serve? And he makes it very clear. Right? It's either God or it's not. And so my question to you is, which business will you be occupied with? A very clear choice. And it's a choice that, you know, right now is very easy to make. Right? Right at this moment, it should be a very easy decision to make whom we will choose. But as we go back to our everyday lives, that choice could become more and more difficult. And that's why you have to make that choice today. Today, every day, first thing in the morning, throughout the day, end of the day, today, make that choice to serve him. And that could mean a number of things. Is it the daily sacrifice that you have to make? Is it the time, how you spend your time? What kind of relationship you choose to build? Those are the choices that you have to make. What kind of characters are you displaying? what kind of testimony are you giving among yourselves, among your friends? Again, those choices, it's very simple. Who are we serving today? I just want to maybe close with a couple of slides. Can we put that up, please? I don't know if you see this clearly, but this was something compiled. These are a couple of pictures compiled, and it reads, you know, occupied in my Father's business. And this was created, these pictures were created during the campfire time when we had the glow sticks. And through the magic of photography and open shutters, this is, and a lot of brothers and sisters working hard, this is the result. And they're legible. Can we show the next slide? Not quite as legible. I'm not sure what happened to the U or the I. And father, the H isn't really complete. And business looks like it's missing a few characters. The reason why I'm showing you this, I believe it speaks to, how as we go back, we have to interact with one another. We're going back to our local assembly, as Max shared. You know, we're living stones. And, you know, is it always going to be as complete, like our first picture, where everything is, all the parts are working properly, and it actually spells out being occupied with my Father's business? Or is it going to look like this? Well, let me tell you, I think I took about 50 pictures that night, and you know, a handful, like the ones that I've picked for the first slide, they showed up. And the rest looked more like this or worse. And that's an encouragement. You know why? Because it shows us that, yes, not all the time are things going to be rosy, like perfect. Or not all the time are things going to be exactly the way we planned it. Sometimes the sea is going to take a break. And the other characters are not going to show up. But let this be an encouragement, because we need to encourage one another to do their part, to keep swinging their arm like this, and to be strengthened, because we all have a part. Let's have the nice slide again. This is the picture. This is that finished product that our Lord wants us to be right where we are, either as individuals or together as an assembly, to be occupied in His business. And, you know, may the Lord have His way with us. May He encourage our hearts as we go from here. Let's close our time with a few prayers. And again, just giving ourselves up to the Lord and a response to what He has done for us this week. And I'll close in a word of prayer.